I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Down the block, Andrew Johnson. Inside for Elvis. Elvis will score! Elvis will score! Newcastle has won!
Knights defeat the Dragons 32-10. Yeah, this game, obviously torrential rain up there. And what I liked about this game for the Knights is, okay, are they anywhere near the standard of rugby league that we thought they would be at this time of year? No, they are. In my opinion, no, they're not. But I saw signs of the gritty side that I saw last year. And this is a game that you can take back and go, you know what? Something to build on here. There's something to build on. They've gone, that's two in a row now for them. They have shown signs of grit in both those games. Yes, obviously the Storm were under strength, but they still showed signs of grit to hang in there and get the win. They show signs here where Dragons look like they're mounting an attack and then the Knights kicked on. And so with the Knights, it's all just about taking the little wins where you can. You know, obviously it's a big win. They got the 2 points. But when you're talking about standard rugby league, it's looking at the little wins. It's looking, okay, boys, we did this really well here. We did this really well here. Because sometimes you can just get caught up in the negativity and it's hard to get out of it. And so, for example, Kalen Ponga now outright leads the Dally M. He's been outstanding since starting the year. Is he playing as good as the 10 in a row? I don't think so. I think if his 10 in a row game is like 10 out of 10, I think he's playing like a 9, probably a 9 out of 10 at the moment. So still unbelievable, but that run that he went on is like literally one of the greatest of all time. So he's been outstanding, and it just shows you how important leadership is to him now, the fact that he's backing up last season with another great season. But you look at other little things like Leo Thompson, you know, just really gritty, aggressive. Reminds me a lot of Fisher Harris a few years ago. I thought he was outstanding for him. So there's a lot of little wins that you can take for the Knights, and you've got Tuala who was outstanding. And so, yes, are they where they want to be? No, but you've got to work with what you got. That's two wins on the trot. There's some wins you can take from that.
I want to give a little shout out to the people in Newcastle. 9,448 turned out for this one.
Mental.
Incredible stuff.
Absolutely
mental. Should send them all a case, Kempy.
Hey, what was that?
Just some outstanding chat from some of the fans there as well. We had the snorkels and the flippers out. Mm. Very good gear from all those fans that got out there. Yeah. So massive shout out to them.
Yeah, you mentioned KP there, mate. For him to be doing what he's doing in those conditions, it's sickening. He just, it's insane.
I think the scary thing is you were saying, Kempy, on that run last year, that if that's a 10 out of 10 for KP, that he's a, what would you say, a 9 out of 10 or an 8
9,
or whatever.
Yeah, 9.5.
Well, I think he's gone, compared to that run, he's gone at about a 6 or a 7 out of 10. Like, he's been solid to start the year, but his solid is Dally M medal leading because he's that good.
Mm.
So with this mixed start to the year for the Knights, obviously Ponga's been a constant, I mean, solid, but there's a lot more to come in KP.
Yeah,
and there's,
sure,
off the back of that, there's going to be a lot more to come in the Knights.
Yeah, I think once guys around him start doing him more favours.
Because that's where I'm at, where I go, like, you could even make the argument he's doing better than last year because he's doing everything himself. Like, he's getting no favours. But, yeah, like, when it comes to, like, purely form, like, last year was unbelievable, and that's a scary thing. If they can just click a little bit more, then we may genuinely see the same form we saw last year.
Because like, it's round five. We've seen three halves pairings there without Greg Marshall, and Tuala's doing a fantastic job coming out of their own end, but you cannot replace Greg the leg coming out of their own end. So
Greg the leg?
You like that one?
Holy shit. What are we referring to? Like, what leg are we referring to, bro?
No comment.
Oh, wow. Also, breaking news, Joey John Stalker just got arrested. So the guru, he'll be leaving after this show, and you may not see him for a few weeks.
And
Guru's ankle bracelet's gone.
And Kempy has refused to pay bail.
And that's actually a true story. Joey has a stalker, 28 years old, gets arrested. You know that meme with Christian, what's her name? That lady, and she does that.
Cringe.
That's what I'm thinking. Very cringe stuff. You're a 28-year-old bloke obsessed with another bloke. Very.
You ever had a stalker?
You know what? Rude?
Yeah.
I've had some interesting interactions with women. Let's just put it that way. I may have been hiding in my house with the lights turned off at one stage of my life. I'll just put it that way.
You were hiding in your house or in her house?
In my house. She was hiding in my house. No, I was hiding in my house and the lights were off. But I'll just leave it like there. Be rude.
Yeah, right.
Dear God, I want details.
Very strange. It was very strange areas, trust me. Very strange areas. And I'm always like, do you really want to be this obsessed? Because like, I'm definitely not worth it. I sent her a picture of my face going, are you sure about this weirdness?
She thought she's at Jarrell Yao Yee's house.
You know what's funny is this was actually post-career.
Oh.
Wow.
What about, yeah, like, wow. Like, oh, yeah, it's just your footy that gets chicks. It's not your fucking personality or anything like that. You're not a fucking good bloke, are you? You fucking pieces of shit. Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff here. Oh man.
God.
Anyway.
Is this a gossip podcast? Or
yeah,
footy,
what mate? Is this, Men's Weekly? Jeez Louise. Get back to a bit of rugby league here, boys. Timmy, how do you think the Knights went?
Well, you mentioned Kempy there, among all the getting sidetracked, just a bit of grit back in the Knights. And the two tries they conceded in this game, there was the Ben Hunt try off Zach Lomax's freakish pass, which, you know, it happens. You can't have done too much more defensively. And then there's the Zach Lomax try, the first try off a kick. So there's two tries within the first 21 minutes. The one off the kick, wet condition, sweet, is what it is. Just an awesome defensive effort. They completed well in the conditions. They moved the ball really well. So couldn't have asked for sort of too much more in this game.
Now, it's only been one game, but I do think the fact that Hastings had a try assist, Cogger had two try assists, you're probably looking at your pairing for the rest of the year. Surely, as in... look, if they fall off a cliff tomorrow, that happens. But surely you just stick for at least a month.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see any changes anytime soon. I feel so sorry for Tyson Gamble because he's been pretty good this year, to be fair. He's laid a few tries on for Tyson Brazil. He's obviously a huge part of their big run last year, but I think it's reasonably evident. I think it was evident even in the trials. As much as I didn't want the halves combination, I think this is the best one.
Mm. Yeah, it's tough on Gamble because... you know, we talked about them getting their steel and their grit back. Like, he's a big part of that.
Yep.
He's a big part of that steel and that grip and that kind of, like, underdog attitude. I wonder how he went. Can you get his stats up for Rezzy's? Cogger. Look, what I thought with Cogger, interestingly, it was actually Cogger doing a lot of the kicking, the short kicking game. And I thought he was outstanding in the short kicking game. What do you think of Cogger's game?
He was great, wasn't he? Tyson Gamble, no big attacking stats or anything. 17 runs, 100 metres, defended pretty well, 22 tackles, yeah. I thought that Cogger was tremendous, though. Obviously, Jackson's got a very good kicking game, but Cogger, like, in a weekend where there was a lot of very good kicking games, his short kicking game in the wet was tremendous.
The moment where he punches the ball in super hard, knowing that it's a wet track, and it just basically stops in the goal line. That was absolutely outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. And, you know, Cogger had 10 kicks compared to Hastings' 5. Does that confirm for you that Hastings' ankle is still not right?
Yeah, I don't think it's been right for quite some time.
Because he's kicking, like, it used to be a strength of his game.
Yep.
Now it kind of feels like he's gone, you know what, you do the kicking, I'll...
Yeah, in saying that, I mean, like, he went down and played reserve grade for the Knights the other day. I think he had 6 tries, just I think 4 of them were off the boot. So I just think that they got out there and Cogger had the hot hand with the kicking game.
Yeah, okay.
I think credit to Jackson, he addressed that and just said, you do your thing.
Yeah, Would you? So six grubbers compared to the two of the Dragons, and six bombs compared to nine of the Dragons. So clearly there was a, like, and that's smart. Like, the good thing for Knights fans is that's smart footy. Like, you know, very, you'd be shocked at the amount of NRL players that will get in the wet weather and they won't play wet weather footy, you know?
Well, they're, you know, two of the first halves you'd want in your team for those conditions because say what you want about them, you can critique them in one way or another, but they're not lacking between the ears, those two footballers. So they, exactly who you want in that, in the wet.
And these are the two sort of footballers why I absolutely hate this new short dropout rule.
Yeah, the build pressure.
It's just shit.
Yeah, I know. The new dropout rule. I'd love to know. I'd love to hear the thoughts of people that enjoy it. I'd love to hear why do you enjoy it? And I have seen comments saying they enjoy it. Let us know in the comment section. Like, what enjoyment do you get out of the short dropouts? We've spoken about it quite a lot. I'll give you the enjoyment I get out of repeat sets. It's obviously the skill set to roll it in, but then it's seeing the mental toughness of the defensive side that I think is like some of the most exciting. Like, think about some of the most iconic parts of Origin. It's been, you know, wow, we defended our set, our line for five, for six sets. And so that's the part that genuinely is some of the most exciting part of rugby league. And that's why I think repeat sets should be super promoted. But I'd love to hear your thoughts as to what do you get out of dropouts that is super enjoyable for you, because I think it's added absolutely nothing to our game.
Yeah, and as we said in the preseason, like, I understand what the NRL is trying to do, but the punishment for screwing up a dropout has to be worse than get your defensive line ready and set to defend six tackles 10 metres out.
Rugby league will be a better place when that shit rule is abolished.
Yeah, hopefully, seriously. Okay, in regards to specific players, we always spoke with KP, Tuala, outstanding again. He's really, really good. Oh, I've always been a fan of Tuala. He actually reminds me a little bit. Now, I know Jesse Arthurs is a little bit bigger, and I think Jesse Arthurs is probably a little bit of a better player. But he reminded me of him, because you've got to remember, like, Jesse Arthurs, yes, was he incredible grand final? Yes. Has he been great this year? Yes. Jesse Arthurs got loaned to the Warriors, and it was almost to a degree of like, you know, we don't really need, this guy's surplus for us. We don't really need him. And so he also played a bit of centre, and I just think that every time I've seen Jesse Arthurs play, I don't think he gets the appreciation he deserves. He's starting to get to the Broncos, and I'm the same with Tuala. Like, okay, Jesse Arthurs is beginning to have these incredible plays where you go, wow, but for a lot of his career, he gets through a lot of work, do his job. Tuala is similar like that. Like, he gets through a lot of work, he does his job. Is he going to have the crazy, flashy plays like a Dom Young? Like, no, I don't think he is. But at the same time, he's a bloody good defender. He does exactly what you need of a modern winger, and he's pretty safe. I think he's a great player.
He ticks so many boxes. And then the big one you said there, Kemp, he's a great defender. He can switch between centre and wing quite easily as well. He's a strong finisher. His positioning on the end of that back line, whether it's left or on the right, he's always in the right spot. I'm with you, a big fan of Inari. He's landed in while Greg Marsh has been out, that golden spot on the left wing at the Knights, reaping the rewards of it. And yeah, he's... Well, we had question marks who gets the wing spot at the start of the season. He's far and above won that. Well,
a lot of people had Jenkins, but unfortunately Jenkins, you know, he had a bit of a Barry Crocker on the weekend and hasn't really set the world alight. Obviously coming from Penrith to the Knights. Is it Penrith, correct, Jenkins?
Yep. Yeah.
You'd say Tuala absolutely gets that wing spot, surely.
And you have a look at his last few seasons, you know, starting from 5 years ago, average run metres per game, 103, 199, 113, 124 last year. Ever since Greg's been out, he's taken it upon himself. He's averaging 172 run metres.
That's a bloody good knock. Oh, yeah, I like Inari. And also, he's the kind of player that he's a squad player in the sense that he's never going to break the bank. So you're never going to have to pay Dom Young money for him. And you need guys like that on your side that aren't going to fucking smash your salary cap. But at the same time, they're going to give you 150 to 200 metres every game.
And this is where once they do bring Greg Marsh back, you know, I noticed in the first two rounds when Greg played, every single team was just kicking down to Inari Tuala because you don't want to deal with Greg. But now when he's returning the ball like he is, great spot to be for Newcastle.
Well, it's great for both because it's a 1-2 punch now. Yep. It goes, Greg takes a run, I take a run. Greg the leg, get your leg out, bruh. Take a run.
It's a shame Dom Young isn't going to be available for
you.
Did
you just say Dom Yum? Wow. I don't mind it. Dom Yum, the shirt rip.
We can get that done. Merch drop coming soon.
6th
Dom
of May.
Yum. And it's just a picture of him with his shirt ripped.
And it's a V-neck as well.
And only you're wearing it on the show, everyone.
Things the viewers do not need to see is my chest.
Imagine that pigeon chest out in the show,
everyone. Yeah, mate. Flat as a bloody surfboard.
Timmy, my eyes are up here, Williams.
Dom Yum playing up in Newcastle this weekend would have been awesome. Huge shame that we don't get to see that.
Yeah, true. Very good point.
Thanks,
good point. We misdirected you with a bunch of shit talk, but you did have a good rugby league point there.
Thanks.
So I'll give that to you. Yeah. Okay, anyone else? Oh, we'll talk about Leo Thompson. The thing with Leo Thompson now is this has to be every single week because, unfortunately, the Saifidi brothers have a tendency to be a bit inconsistent. And it's just been like that for their career. You know, they play origin level, then they're a bit quiet and they might miss a couple tackles and whatever. Then they play origin level. And so Leo Thompson is the guy in that squad that can go, you know what, I'm the stalwart. I am the rock, the center. It's going to get through a mountain of work. What have you got there?
Oh, no. Sorry.
Through a dummy?
I got the time wrong. I just read the numbers in the head didn't work.
That's all good. It's all right. Had a great flow there, but it's whatever. Leo Thompson needs to be the rock, the Oscar.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the last 2 years he's been tremendous. So I remember at the start of last season we had Jackson in the studio here, and man, he wouldn't shut up about Leo Thompson.
Mm.
Just saying how good he's been in the preseason and how like he's sort of become almost their James Fisher-Harris. Like the stats aren't astronomical, but he's just tough as nails.
Mm. Yeah, and it's just that kind of. I wouldn't say he's an enforcer yet, but there's edges of it. Like, he's put it this way, out of that forward pack, he's probably the guy that has a bit of a screw loose, I think. They obviously lost Barnett, who definitely has a screw loose.
I love that screw loose gets mentioned. You just like straight to Mitch Barnett.
Hetherington's coming off the bench, so less time to. And also, he's got too many screws loose, so you don't want to let him off the leash.
Yeah.
And so, Leo Thompson kind of needs to be that guy.
But similar to James Fisher-Harris, like I remember when he came into first grade, mate. There were so many screws loose. You were just going, this can't
work. Mate, he was like Hetherington. Like,
well, he was Mark Geyer all over again.
Mate, he was just a loose unit.
And then he just found the straight and narrow. And I feel like Leo Thompson, like I constantly look at him and think, my God, he's so many screws are loose here. But he's incredibly consistent and just does a job every single week. And you're right, like the Saifidi boys, you know, two State of Origin props. Surely at some point they've got to be looking around the room at Leo Thompson going, hold on, I thought I was the guy in this forward pack.
Mm. Yeah, and to be fair, Daniel Saifidi, I thought he had a good game. I mean, both Saifidi brothers were solid. So there's not. I'm not saying that they didn't play well on the weekend, but they do go a little bit up and down throughout a season, whereas Leo Thompson does seem to be the guy that can give you a more of a baseline performance each week. He might not hit the heights of Saifidi hits, obviously, but at the same time, he probably won't hit the lows either.
And when you get the week that both the Saifidis play their best footy and Leo Thompson does what he does, good luck beating Newcastle. Yeah. KP's going to run a train oversize.
Yeah, absolutely. And that three front rower rotation, if Saifidi play the best they can play, plus Leo Thompson there, that can compete with anyone because it's an origin level. You know, Leo Thompson, he averaged the most metres per minute against Australia off the bench. So we're talking about, at their best, a top-tier front row rotation.
And keep in mind this week, like Leo Thompson came back in, but Tyson Rizal also wasn't in this side. And I thought he'd been their best forward in the first month. So I thought they would really, really miss Tyson Rizal, but he came in and did such a good job.
Geez, I've been impressed with Kai Pierce-Paul.
Mm.
Like, I expected him to be, you know, offloads and flashy and highlight reel. I did not expect him to be one of their most consistent players of the start of the season. Like, I haven't watched a game that he's played for them so far this year where he hasn't been at least in their top five players, in my opinion.
I was the exact same, mate. I thought he'd be padding the stat sheet with offloads, tackle breaks, tries, try assists, but I thought there'd be, like, missed tackles and maybe not a huge work rate and all that. It's been a complete opposite.
Mm.
He's hardly had an attacking stat to his name. They will come as he settles into his combinations on the left edge, you know, with Ponga. He's had different halves partners come in and out, which kind of helped. That'll come, but just his motor on him.
Yeah,
like, he gets through huge work.
Mm.
Defense, by and large, has been good this season. A few little areas to work on, but again, he's transitioned to the NRL far quicker than I thought he would.
And when the attacking stats start, I think they're going to flow.
Oh, for sure. Once KP gets his timing off KPP, oh, shit.
Yeah.
KP and KPP. Oh, yeah.
It's mad.
Mm.
That works. It works. Then that's going to be scary. Once he realizes, okay, this is when I'm noticing that his arm gets released at this point in time, it is just going to be unstoppable.
Yeah, and once they get Greg back in a couple of weeks, like that left edge of Newcastle,
oh,
get him on a dry track on a good day.
Not good.
KP, KPP, couple of screws loose, rugby league handful. Newcastle Knights.
What do you think of the Knights, mate?
They were great. I think you've summed it up. You've touched on all the players that did really well there. The two halves, I agree. I think they, just to circle back to those guys, especially in a wet weather game like that, just they kind of managed the game very well. And I wonder, I know coming into the season, we were kind of like, oh, are they a little bit similar, those two halves? But maybe when you've got KP at the back, who's just a attacking machine, maybe having two game managers in the halves is not the worst thing. And just kind of picking them out, getting the team to the spot on the field where you can get KP involved. But look, they look really good. It's taken a couple of weeks for them to click together, but they were very impressive in pretty challenging conditions. They got the Chooks this week, so they looked abysmal last week for most of the game. A few injuries as well.
Huge opportunity for the Knights to get a win here, to jag a win off the Roosters. Because then I think after that, they've got very winnable. Not very winnable is tough, but I think they've got to win them.
Dogs, then they've got the Dolphins, who are first at the moment, then the Warriors. So they actually have got a couple of tough ones.
So they could go 4-4.
They could.
Well, actually, if they've already won last week, they could go 6-6. Mm. Like, that's a genuine possibility. What an opportunity for the Knights. Yeah. Jeez.
If you want the more extended version, so they go Roosters, Doggies, Dolphins, Warriors, Tigers.
Tough game.
Titans, bye, Bulldogs.
Ooh.
There's some winnable ones.
This
there.
Is season defining. Mm. This next 6 weeks for them, it'll define their season, I think.
Man, just have a look at that Titans game in a few weeks' time. That's at Magic Round, Saturday, 3 p.m. KP on a dry track.
Ooh,
at
KP and KPP as well.
Screws everywhere.
Screws everywhere on the ground. Hopefully that's not OHS.
What's your footing?
Three-legged Greg out there. But it's all happening.
Dom Yum will also be there at Magic Round.
Watching.
Probably. Watching. Going, damn, wish I was still the Knights. Knights, you get the wins where you can, and there's a lot of positives from that game. On to the Dragons. Look, the most disappointing thing with the Dragons is just how inconsistent they are. Like, they go from, in a match as well. Like, you can watch them for 10 minutes and go, you know, like Lure on the edge, throw on the edge, they're hitting their three ins, they get, you know, going again, Benny Hunt looks on, and then the next 10 minutes you go on, like, wooden spoon stuff. We'll get to the positives first. Lomax, again, with an outstanding game. Now, reports are that the Eels have offered him a deal. Apparently, it's reportedly less than what he's on now, still around the 650 mark, which is, you know what, if I'm the Eels, I'm that desperate, I'm just, you know, you probably want to get him for around 500 as a good deal, but if it's around the 650 mark, I'm that desperate as an Eels, I'm going all in.
Yeah, bloody earth.
Like, far out.
I know there's a lot of, you know, things that have to go forward to make it happen, and it's far easier said than done, but, like, do you just cut ties early and do a player swap and go, all right, he doesn't want to be here by the sounds of it, they've given him permission to leave.
But if you're the Eels, would you bother? Why would you? Because they've already come out and said he is not at the club next year. And so...
The Dragons. Yeah.
So you go, mate, we're not giving up anyone. Mm. Like, I look at the Eels and I go, if they're being honest, could they win a premiership this year? Probably not. Now, Mitch Moses coming back inside changes a lot. But I wouldn't be willing to lose a player for Lomax when the Dragons have already played their hand and said he's gone next year. What do you reckon, Rudy? You agree, disagree?
Oh, I just think it's such a bizarre situation. I've never seen a bloke play better that doesn't want to be somewhere.
Mm.
I hope I'm wrong, but if I'm a club signing Zach Lomax next year, I know he wants to play centre, but it wouldn't shock me if he ends up somewhere else playing wing.
I mean, he's been frigging awesome.
Why would you move him?
Why does he want to play centre? Like, he's so good on the wing.
He's been his best footy, probably, we've seen, the first month.
Like, the obsession with wanting to play centre, like, you stand 3 foot to the right, whatever team you're playing in, they're going to let you roam and do what you want.
Are we being a bit hoodwinked? That's the narrative that's been created. Like, for example, he has said, yes, I do want to play wing, but he's also said, I'll do what's best for the team. So are we being a bit hoodwinked that's the narrative of the Dragons, or, you know, people that are on the other side of Lomax going, let's put out the narrative that it's purely about being centre, kind of like what happened with Critter, how it was like, yeah, Critter's leaving because he wants to play fullback. Then he gets over there and it's like, didn't come anywhere near fullback. Maybe we're being a bit hoodwinked and he just wants to go to a club where it's a better environment.
If I was a betting man, which I might be.
I think you are, actually.
I would be very confident on saying he plays wing wherever he goes, I reckon.
I think he lands at the Eels 100%. I think he lands at the Eels. Like, I'd be shocked if he doesn't land at the Eels.
Well, he gets signed on more as a winger than he does a centre. Straight up.
Yeah. And I tell you what, that Eel side with him on the wing, I mean, I'm not sure what's happening with Sivo. Hopefully he can find his best form again. But them kicking to him, like, they haven't had a guy like Lomax since, what, Virgo?
Yeah.
Like, it's been a while. It's been a while.
Ages.
Also, yeah. Wing's mad. You make three tackles, you score tries, you make line breaks.
Yep.
Bro, you got to do heaps more.
Hang out with footy players?
Yeah. Heaps better.
Yeah, so look, whatever happens there, he was outstanding. That flick pass was like, that's been building up for 12 months, I reckon.
Yeah.
He's just been holding it in his soul, going, I'm just so desperate to flick pass, but I can't. And then the moment he felt it, he felt the moment and said, this is the moment. And just went fucking booze. Do you reckon he made that noise?
I think so.
Did you hear it on the mics?
No, I could, because it was too wet. There was a bit of wet weather interference, but could have gone anywhere, but it turned out to be a masterstroke. No,
it was a fucking masterstroke. Yeah. What did you guys think of the Dragons?
Mate, I've been really impressed with Tommy Eisenhuth over the last few weeks. He's come off the bench the last few weeks. I think he's playing about 45, 50 minutes. But I just – honestly, I didn't realise he was this good. He looks so integral to me to everything they do. And they look so much better when he's on the field.
Mm. Yeah, I when they signed him, I was like, he's the last person they need. And they've got so many battlers already. Why would you – but I agree with you, mate. I think he's been phenomenal.
I thought Francis Molo was really good too.
They just extended him for a couple of years too.
That's good signing. I like that.
Mate, he's been so underrated for a couple of years now at the Dragons, in my opinion. But, yeah, as an overall, it's just the consistency they need to sort.
Moses Suli, I was just going to give a bit of a wrap to him. No errors in the wet. 170 metres, 14 runs. Didn't miss a tackle. Not bad in the wet weather. Again, we've spoken about him a few times this year, but credit to him for just, you know, knuckling down, getting better and better, and he's probably having his best year yet so far.
Yeah, for sure, mate. Moses Suli, he's been so consistent for what do you reckon, 2-3 years now at the Dragons?
Yeah.
Super consistent. Yeah, defensively can sometimes read poorly, but give me a centre that is in the top three centres of the game that doesn't have bad reads at times.
And, you know, I also reckon that if Suli didn't have the start of his career he did, like, I reckon it makes us focus on him more in defence too.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I think he's been really consistent in defence. I've been like, we said it, you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago when he re-signed or whatever, but to think where he was 5 years ago to where he is now, I would have almost called it impossible.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to talk about it. Sloan, put onto the wing. It's just, you know, I admire Flano for really sticking with Sloan. And we have to remember, I think he's still only 21 years old. So he is very young. But some of the defensive stuff he did on the weekend, like there was even stuff with when they scored that try from the kick from Cogger, when he just jammed it into the thing. Like, Sloan was on the short side and he just jogged. It was a fifth tackle.
Yeah.
And it was just like that. So that's not even about putting your head in a bad space. That's just purely effort. And it's just, I don't know. How many chances do you want to give a guy? I know Flano's a new coach and he is 21. So there is obviously time, but you can still develop in New South Wales Cup. And although he has had a good attacking start to a degree for the year, some of this stuff is just, like, as a former teammate of other players, it's just unforgivable. You're like, your players around you are busting their ass. They're putting their bodies on the line for you. Your brother's out there and you're not willing to just put your body in front or get your head in a maybe a bit of a tough spot. It's unfair on your teammates.
And you know what? Like, there was moments there defensively when Lomax was at fullback that wasn't perfect by any means, but there was no lack of effort there.
Well, we spoke about earlier, Ezra Mann, completely bumped, but he just put his body in the line. So it's all good. And it's like the same with Sloan. It's like, mate, we don't care if you miss the tackle. Just put your body in front. But for some reason, he just doesn't seem to like it.
Amazing with Zach Lomax. Like, I'm sure we all agree he was the best player on the field for the Dragons.
Yeah, six errors.
Six errors.
Yeah, it was crazy. Crazy. But, I mean, it was most of them just trying stuff, really.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
What do you do in the Sloan situation, boys? I mean, he's been hooked to the wing.
I'm giving him another week for sure. I think he's done enough this season. And look, I've been his biggest critic at times. He's done enough to get another game. And the reason being, it's easy to be critical, but far out. These were like some just obscene conditions of footy. And look, it was obvious for everyone to see. The effort areas weren't there from Sloan at times in this game, but this won't happen again this season. Then playing in conditions like that, Sloan now has an opportunity, like Xavier Savage did last week with the Raiders, to bounce back and go, no, I'm a stronger mental player than I was this time last year or 2 years ago, get better conditions, and you don't want to make excuses for him, but I'm 100% giving him another crack at fullback this week, 80 minutes, and saying, all right, mate, show us what you've got.
Yeah, I'm giving him, mate, for sure, you know, absolutely giving him another crack this season. It's just the concern is this pattern existed before Flano got there. Mm. So I was like, you know, for example, he comes out and he kills it next week. 4 weeks go by, another game like he plays like this. So I don't know what Flano's going to do. I don't know. Like Flano was literally quoted saying he needs to put his head and, you know, body on the line. That's why I didn't, you know, some of the decisions he's making. What would you do, Guru?
No, I agree with both of you. I'll be giving him another shot. And fuck, if you are going to move him, if you're Flano, is it going to be a tough conversation that I'm playing the guy at fullback over you that doesn't want to be here?
Yeah.
Such a strange situation.
I was watching the New South Wales Cup side absolutely dominate Manly, maybe last week. Their fullback looked pretty good.
For the Dragons?
Yeah.
Thank God. He played on the weekend.
Yeah. Been playing fullback for him, I think.
Yeah, he looked good at fullback. So
something about those boys.
Yeah, I just feel like they need a good environment to excel at. But yeah, the week before, the New South Wales Cup Dragon side looked unbelievable. They towed Manly up. Where are they sitting on the ladder?
They are sitting, the Dragons?
Yeah.
We could see if Birdie is out, he had a knee issue there. We might see that Sevilio Tamali get a start.
I like him.
Yeah, he looks the goods.
I think he's a good player, yeah.
So could come in this week potentially. There's a few options. They could put one of the Fenai boys at centre as well.
I don't think they should do that again. I don't think they're.
I'd put the young fella.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be putting the young fella.
I reckon you'll get a crack.
Yeah.
Sixth, they're coming.
Sixth, that's all right. And it's so, how many equal points? Like, what's their points compared to first?
They have played 4 games. They've won 2.
Okay.
So,
that's right. 6.
Middle of the range.
Not bad for a team that their first grade side, you know, a lot tip for the spoon.
Yep.
Yeah, so look, the Sloan situation, it's just going to be a matter of Flano just needs to work his magic, really. I agree with you, boys. I'd be giving him an extra week, but he'd be on notice for me. You know, yeah, unfortunately, it's just a pattern, it seems like. That just every now and then, he'll just have this game where just his head's not there. So hopefully they can work it out.
They've got the Tigers at Campbelltown. No, my luck, he'll probably come out and score another hat-trick and, you know.
Tear you apart.
Yeah, we won't be talking about him. I think he's been pretty good this year. Obviously, Timmy summed it up pretty well. It was like a once in a season weather event that he probably had to do it. It's not easy to be. And I know both teams had to do it, but
I'm sounding really harsh here. But what the hell does weather got to do with having a dig?
Yeah,
that's true.
Like what? No offense, boys, but fucking just rip in. That's even more like get involved.
I wasn't having a dig. I didn't leave the house for 2 days. I sympathise with Tyrell.
Look, I hope he is. Because, can you just confirm? He's still 21. He's got so long, and there is so much potential. And you also have to ask yourself, what's the alternative at the Dragons at the moment? You know, do they have a young guy? Like, Faino's been good at fullback, but he's had a couple opportunities in first grade too and hasn't, you know, like killed it. And there is just so much upside with Sloan that it's worth just hanging in there. But at the same time, you just got to get through to him.
Dragons, as you said, they play the Tigers this week, who, you know, been a little bit up and down. The week after that at Wynn Stadium, Friday 6 p.m, they play the Warriors. That's going to show us who the Dragons are. Oof. They've been up and down.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
cheer, but the Warriors, if you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile against that Dragons moment in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So look, where I put the Dragons right now, they definitely look better than I thought they were going to look, but they have a huge consistency problem. And so that's part of their growing pains with Flanagan. I do think they've reacted to Flano. I do think they play for Flano. And I do think that they are heading on the direction up. I think that there's,
yeah,
you know, it's not a disaster start to the year for the Dragons, in my opinion. Thoughts?
Agree.
Yeah.
Great.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.